You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Teen Wolf After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Teen Wolf After Show.
Getting down the studio. Hello, AfterBuzzers. We're here doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show for MTV's Teen Wolf Season 3, Episode 14, More Bad Than Good. I'm your host this evening, Kristen Elizabeth Snyder. And because the visuals have been so amazing this season, our special guest is from Teen Wolf's art department. Please welcome Jeff Butler.
Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Thanks for coming in, Jeff.
Yeah, no problem.
So we've been talking about how this season is not just the physical horror now, it's a psychological horror. And yeah, a lot of that is in the set design. So what's it like being on these sets that are obviously a lot darker and scarier and eerie?
They're pretty, I think they're really fun, actually. I think I love all that crazy, weird stuff, you know. And, you know, like the set from last night, which was where we start the episode with the Mexican hunter's house. Stuff that was one of the coolest sets we did. There was so much stuff that they put up in the background. Like, there's even like a stuffed werewolf in there somewhere. I don't know if
wow,
it made it into the episode, but those characters have definitely been hunting for werewolves before
for a long time.
Derek and Peter were not the first that they'd caught.
That's actually really good to know, and you know, that wasn't something obvious for our viewers.
Yeah.
So what's the vibe like? What is your job going into this show every day? I mean, I'm sure you're just kind of helping everybody out, but what's like one of the most exciting things you've got to do so far on set?
My daily routine is I come in and I see my boss is Rusty Smith, the production designer. I think he's been on the show before.
He's been on. A lot of you may remember him from last season.
Yeah, and, you know, he's in charge of the look of the show and everything. He starts from, you know, conceptualizing the sets. And my job is to – I usually, you know, make – I help him with anything to get that set ready for camera. So from researching, you know, different ideas for sets, and then, you know, he'll conceptualize it, he'll draw it. You know, I make sure me and one other person, our coordinator, Turner Munch, who's not here, but he would have loved to have been here.
maybe we can bring him on.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we work together and we make sure everybody on set has, you know, has a good idea of what the set is.
So for a lot of this stuff, I mean, you say you do research, but it's like a lot of this Jeff creates in his head. So like, yeah, can you go to an example from like maybe this episode of some research that you had to do that would help out?
Yeah, one word, autopsies.
Really? So yeah. That was one of my favorite scenes from this episode is when we just see Allison's like body and then her aunt goes ahead and like tears it apart. Like, I was kind of like, why? I don't want to be a part of this dream sequence.
Pretty gruesome.
Can you talk about that set and what that was like? Because it looked so realistic to me.
Yeah, we had that whole body cast thing. We had that created over at a pretty awesome place called Dapper Cadaver.
Oh, wow.
And actually, we did not shoot that scene in sequence, so I actually had that open body sitting in front of my desk for, like, I would say maybe a month and a half or so. Maybe
wow,
longer before we got to it, and it was, we had to put a shirt over it at one point because we were like, we don't want to see a rib cage today.
So. Oh, my gosh. The things on the desks at Teen Wolf.
Yeah. So.
So what was it? It was just they made it out of obviously like rubber and different kinds of
yeah, they material. Did rubber with it, and then special effects, they touched it up with a lot of I think they might have used like chicken and stuff like that to
that
not encode it in, you know, like, you know, fake blood and all this stuff to make it look all
I mean, that would make sense why it does look so real. So we can go ahead and start talking about the episode. And the Mexican hunters, they are asking for the La Loba.
Yeah.
And so does that word mean she-wolf?
Well, I'm a little rusty on Spanish, but I think
it seemed like
Loba is definitely wolf in Spanish for sure. So.
Okay, so definitely that's probably a she-wolf. And then so they were held captive because the Mexican hunters are looking for the she-wolf. And now is the she-wolf Derek's mom, Talia? Is that who they're referring to, or are we not sure who they're referring to at this point?
Honestly, when I read the script, I was not sure who they were talking about either. I thought maybe they were talking about Malia Tate, who is, you know, the were-coyote at some point in this episode.
Right.
And
so
actually, there's a lot of stuff being set up that
really?
Is – so it is – I don't know if I could say who it is.
But, yeah, you probably shouldn't.
But,
or should he?
Or should I? No, I can't.
Okay, so how about the torture scene where she cuts off Peter's finger?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty gruesome, wasn't it?
I mean, yeah, I'm really hoping that he can heal somehow or they can fix that.
Yeah, hopefully.
Was that something else you guys got from the cadaver place?
No, that would be Cat Cassinger. Props. I think that was a prop, maybe.
Maybe
special effects as well. I do a lot of running around sometimes, so there's so many departments bustling around, so I don't get to see everything that'll be on there, but
that makes sense. And then the motorbike girl from season 3A, she was hired by Deucalion to rescue Derek. So Deucalion must be coming back this season.
He could be.
I mean, I'm excited for, because I was thinking at the end of the episode, we get that person who mysteriously pulls the root from the Nematon or the little tree that was growing. And I was trying to think of who it was. And before they had mentioned Deucalion at all, I was thinking maybe it could be Deucalion. Maybe it could be Mr. Tate because I'm still like suspecting him, even though, you know, he was just angry about, you know, losing his family. I still feel like there's something going on with him. And I'm not sure what that wooden circle box was in the mountain ash. Can you give us any idea, like, what have we seen that symbol before, what that was?
It's something that is going to become much more important as the season progresses.
It seemed like maybe it had to do with the Nematon, considering the next scene kind of switched over to the Nematon, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. there's a lot of mystery with that plot that I don't know if I should give into yet. There's a lot of surprises that are going to happen, so and to see it all come together now, like, when we get scripts and whatnot, sometimes I'll be reading, I'll be like, well, this wasn't, you know, I read screenwriting books, and I've gone to school for it and stuff like that, and I'm like, well, let's set a payoff, and it's gonna pay off.
Yeah,
but it's not, you know, Teen Wolf is not a self-contained episode show usually. I mean, they usually tie it off at the end, but, you know, it builds and builds and builds, and there are things even in last week's episode premiere that pay off way down the line, so it's very continuous and like one big long saga.
We kind of talked about this last episode and how just Teen Wolf has become more sophisticated, you know, season after season. And, you know, it's not just a teen drama anymore where we see werewolves fighting. It's become a lot more psychological, and you have to pay attention to those little symbols and every single aspect, because Jeff is just a mastermind who created Criminal Minds. So, you know, there's a lot more in this show. You just have to keep paying attention. So we go ahead, and our next discussion point is Malia returning home to Mr. Tate. So Scott has to – he kind of turns into the alpha in order to be able to roar, which causes Malia to be able to turn back into the were-coyote. And I just – I really liked this episode and how – kind of they all got their special abilities back, and the side effects of like the ice baths was coming back, and I kind of feel like now at this point Scott seems to have his ability to turn like under control, at least for the moment. And we saw Allison was able to shoot Mr. Tate with the tranquilizer finally, so maybe she's back to being a sharp shooter. And then Styles overcame his inability to read directions. He was still able to help Lydia out of the trap. So I felt like they all overcame their fears and were able to do what they thought they no longer had the ability to do. And again, this is just like a great lesson for the Teen Wolf audience of all ages, you know, because a lot of people have fear in like their abilities. And at some point, maybe they stop doing whatever their talent is mm-hmm. because they have to get over that fear. And then as soon as they do, you know, they can do it again. So it's definitely like a psychological thing and mind play, which I'm sure a lot of teenagers go through.
Yeah, they're, you know, the kids are growing up on the show and they're, mm-hmm. you know, learning to be adults. And the number one thing of that is being in control of your emotions. And that's pretty much what they did, particularly Styles, you know, and Scott. Well, I guess all three of them, yeah, sure. The Styles stuff, we did a lot of work for that. I don't know if all of it got in or not, but there was a lot more... bizarre letters and whatnot. We made so many school posters and things like that that he was hallucinating through and, you know, struggling to go through with. And
I never like have a minute to like pause it and like unscramble things, but are any of the messages like funny that they actually scrambled that the audience wouldn't see, or is it like pretty normal stuff that they have you guys then scramble?
Trying to remember. I think maybe on one of them there were, but I think at one point we kind of decided against it. I think we started it with in Latin or something at one point, okay. and then we had to change that. So
so instead of doing Latin, you guys just did English but scrambled the words.
Yeah, it was more of a, like, you know, style. They really wanted to focus on, like, Styles feeling like he's going crazy. So, like, we that's right. That's why we didn't change the Latin. We changed it from Latin because we felt like Styles was – so smart, he would probably recognize it. So we changed it to a bunch
hilarious.
Of just other random things. So he would really feel like he's going insane. So
I really like that. That's funny. I don't think that going back to Malia's story for a little bit, I don't think it's going to end there. I'm still like very suspicious of Mr. Tate. And we all know
he's
him.
A sneaky guy.
Yeah, he's on the Originals, the show. He's the priest on there. He's just an amazing actor. So can we suspect that he's going to be around for a while? Because I was thinking, you know, is the Sheriff Stilinski going to be solving now new cold cases every week to try to keep his job for one more episode?
Yeah.
Or, you know, is the Tate family going to continue into the plot?
I definitely feel like you haven't seen the last of them for sure.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Do you know if Stilinski's going to continue to, like, bring back old cases and continue to solve them? Or is he just moving with the plot, sort of?
This is very much his story this season, is him struggling to keep his place in Beacon Hills as Scott's father comes and tries to...
Nobody likes
ruin everything.
Mr. McCall.
Like, it doesn't seem like he's, you know, he's saying he's just doing his job, but he's just coming in and taking everything away. And you're like,
yeah,
hey, man, who are you? Where'd you come from?
Yeah, and we all want Melissa to be with Sheriff Stilinski in the end. So we don't really want Agent McCall to be in town.
Yeah.
So we had Edgar Cardona say that he was disappointed that the twins became betas. He left this comment on our YouTube. And you guys at home, you can always call into our show. The number is 424-256-1729. You can leave comments on our YouTube and our iTunes. We love hearing from you guys. I'm going to read some more of those later. But right now, I was just talking about Edgar's disappointment with the twins' eyes changing colors, and he didn't know why. But that was because the Duroc last season 3A broke their back, and they're no longer alphas because of what she did to them. So that's why they have the light blue eyes now instead of red. But, you know, they're being very resourceful to Scott because he went to them and said, you know, like, I don't know how to, you know, become an alpha. I'm scared that I can't turn back. And they sort of beat it into him,
yeah,
the
they certainly
idea.
They weren't afraid to show him how to be an alpha this week, did they?
No, but I feel like if they continue, like, this resourcefulness for him, then, you know, he might let them in his pack. Because they're definitely sort of orphans at this point.
Yeah, yeah. They're definitely going to have to do a little more to earn their place, I think. But, yeah, for sure, they definitely showed Scott what it means to be an alpha this week, I think.
Yeah. And I really liked... what they did with some of the relationships, and they had, like, the Isaac and Allison moment where he was like, show me what to do and yeah, I'll help yeah. you. I mean, a lot of people are shipping them to be together.
It's blooming, for sure.
I like the slow build that we're getting. And yeah. The Kira and Scott relationship was really funny when Mr. Yukimura once again embarrassed his daughter by giving her all of the research she had done for Scott. And she actually admitted to Scott that she had done hours of research for him on Bordeaux, which, girls, I don't think you should ever admit to a guy that you've, like, put all this time into something unless you're already going out. What do you think?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, that shows that she's into you, you know.
That's a good point.
You know, you go the other way. But we're, yeah, I'm sure Scott's very flattered about it, you know.
He seemed to be, but he didn't respond, so it was just feeling for the girl at that point.
He's got to find a coyote, man. He's got to
That's a good point.
Hurt anybody. She's...
And then we had the, once again, Styles and Lydia. I mean, Styles is always going to be there to save Lydia's life when she got her, like, stuck in the trap. I am really excited for all these different couples to make out, and I'll be cheering loudly when they do. But more so just Styles and Lydia. I liked in the premiere episode how we got that scene of them in bed together.
Yeah,
and
trick.
I was like, that was fast. But at the same time, I was so like I had, you know, I was excited and I was finally felt like I had got that gratification that I was looking for in that relationship for a split second. Although I'm glad that it didn't happen because it was like too fast, too soon.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
But it was kind of a dream for the audience because that's something, you know, we all look for and are excited to see for real, actually.
Yeah.
And then, so we got to the teaser where someone pulls the small tree root that was growing from the Nimaton. And I talked about how I'm not sure who that is. And the fireflies kind of turn into these dark spirits, which I assume will be yet again another consequence of Allison Scott and Styles. Something that they'll have to deal with. And in the 3B trailer, kind of told us that, you know, when they opened these doors in their minds by doing that ice bath and dying and coming back, this kind of power was like a magnet and that it's going to draw them here.
It's definitely the beacon for Beacon Hills now.
Right.
For sure.
Do you know how far along, like, Jeff knew when he, you know, named this town Beacon Hills, if he knew that this was going to be actually used as a beacon to draw monsters here?
I don't, but I appreciate the metaphor that he came up with for it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So. I believe we have a caller on the line. Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Probably on the line with the Teen Wolf after show.
Caller? I think you have a bad connection.
All right, I'm hanging up. No worries.
Try to call back. Thanks for calling.
Try again. Sorry.
People want to ask you questions, Jeff.
Yeah. You know,
call back,
this
guys.
Guy?
Again, that's 424-256-1729. I'll read a couple of your comments right now. We had Buru Raven on YouTube say, Josh from Florida, you are like our regular caller, but your questions are very good, so keep calling. So Josh from Florida, maybe that was you, maybe it wasn't, but a lot of people like to hear the fans call in and ask questions because maybe they need to get over their fear and call themselves. I don't know. Maybe this episode will help them do that. But guys, call in. We love hearing from you. And then we have Yashka say, I love your show. We're watching it from the Ukraine. And we had Mergador, cheers from Brazil. They love the show as well.
Awesome.
So, and we had Flow Your Mind, Brie Alexandra, Nick Made Millions, Megan Smith, and Jassers. And Julian and Joseph Ward and Angelus Hale. Thank you, guys. And Derek Johnson says he's glad the after show in Teen Wolf is back, but I have a question. Could Kate Argent be alive? Because you know Jeff, and nothing is always absolute in Teen Wolf. So do you think, I know you can't really tell us, but is there a chance maybe that Kate Argent is still alive, even though she's just coming back in Allison's dreams?
I honestly have no idea, man. Like, there's,
even
you know,
the people working on the show don't know.
She's definitely on a, she's very present, you know, the last two episodes. And I don't know if, she's going to leave Allison alone or not, but, we may see her again.
I have a feeling we might. And then we had Elena Davis, and she was, you know, happy that Keahu came back, and a lot of people wanted Keahu to be a regular on our show, but she wanted to know if Teen Wolf was real, and these characters and the stories in Beacon Hills were real. Would you, our guest tonight, want to live in Beacon Hills, or do you think, you know, you'd be one of the townies who didn't know what was going on in the town? I mean, it is in California.
I would have got out of there.
You would have got out of
ago,
there?
Man. Like, if you have a consistency of murders at your high school like that, I would definitely at least have changed schools.
Yeah, that's so, a good point. Well, hey, some people like a little more excitement than others. Nothing wrong with the happening town. Mine was very boring, and it was like an Amish town.
Oh, well, mine was a desert, so.
Oh, very entertaining as well. Okay, and thank you guys on iTunes as well. If you guys didn't know at home, we're also on iTunes. Thank you, George19911 under Siege says, listening to our podcast is just as entertaining as the show. I'm not sure everyone would agree, but thank you for posting. And getting back to the episode, we can talk about that teaser again at the end. And I was thinking that from the 3B trailer, it kind of looked like this black mask figures that are coming, the darkness behind the masks. I kind of saw in like the 3B trailer, they said it's a dark spirit called Void.
Void, yes. Void.
So I'm very excited about that. What can you tell us?
They are definitely going to be a force to be reckoned with. They have also have really awesome masks.
Yeah.
Which you will, I think, yeah, I could talk about it because they show that in the opening credits now. Like, towards the end of it, they'll cut. It cuts to the silver-black mask of the Japanese spirits that are coming. So,
oh, that's exciting.
Next week. Ooh, next week is that the Doug Jones episode? I think so. Yeah, yeah. There'll be a pretty cool villain for next week.
Oh, that's sure. I'm excited. I love that we're continuously getting new villains, and so we are not sure as an audience, who to point the finger at, you know, like who's going to be the big bad of the season, or are all these people just sort of getting in the way? Like Peter, I'm not sure what his role is going to be this season, but I know, you know, we saw him at the end of 3B sort of saying, you know, I'll always be
the alpha. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not sure if he's going to get in the way of Scott, you know, still helping protect Beacon Hills, or what his mission will be this season.
Yeah, he has, he's in, I don't know how I'm going to, how do I word this without ruining anything? I don't want to ruin anything
for
everybody.
Yeah, we don't want you to ruin anything, but we want spoilers.
You know,
we do.
He'll be around for sure, though.
Okay,
this season.
I'm excited.
He and Derek have a lot to do, you know, they got that, what was it, the Triskel box that they found this week.
The Triskel box.
Is that, did they say that in the episode?
I'm
I don't
not,
think they did.
Well,
I don't
that
even
will
know
help
if that's
us.
How you pronounce it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jeff Davis.
Well, pronunciation errors. That'll probably help us keep guessing what it could be. But so I really liked that scene where we had Styles and he was reading in front of the class and the words just started to melt off the page, because I feel like as a teenager, everyone, especially me, like when I was younger, the words really did melt off the page when I tried to read out loud. It was like I was on camera and everyone was watching me. I always messed up. Like, it was very scary. I hated that game Popcorn. And it's nice to see that we sort of get that metaphor in Teen Wolf for teens who also, you know, hate being called on in the middle of class to read out loud.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I used to have that problem, too. But it's, you know.
You're getting over it.
Out. Yeah, yeah. Well, I have to be. I'm over. I'm on YouTube right now. So. And, yeah.
Okay, well, let's start to get into a few questions for you.
Sure.
Can you talk a little bit about, you know, why you wanted to get into the art department?
Oh, well, you know, I've always been a big fan of movies and TV and whatnot, but
maybe something from your childhood as well.
My other passion, I like, you know, of course, art, and I studied design in college and whatnot. And I came out here. And, you know, I like to do writing as well. And, but once you, when you arrive in Hollywood, you learn everybody's writing. Everybody wants to direct and stuff. So I said, well, what else can I utilize for myself out here? And, you know, I'd studied design in college. So I said, well, I'll try to, you know, put my talents into the art area there. And, you know, it's starting off pretty smoothly, but and we'll see where it goes, you know?
As a child, I always ask, like, people when you were a child, maybe what influences from your childhood kind of led you in that direction. Were you, like, very artsy as a kid?
A little bit. Yeah, a little more. Not particularly when I was super young, I guess, but definitely more in mid-teens, high school. Like, you know, I was always fascinated by movie posters and whatnot. You know, Drew Struzan, he's the guy who drew every great movie poster from, like, the 80s and whatnot. So, like, Indiana Jones and then the Star Wars special editions and, God, what else? And it, almost any great movie you could Hook. People like Hook, right?
Yeah.
Everybody loves Hook.
Of course.
And that was definitely my inspiration towards stepping towards that, you know, and I wanted, and for a while I wanted to do advertising and whatnot, but I didn't think that world was as fun as actually just being in, working and creating entertainment itself, so.
Yeah, I mean, what's it like to just kind of see, like, Rusty's idea for, you know, the set design of Teen Wolf and then being a part of creating that? Is it sort of like a magical experience?
It is because, you know, we have a great team working there, you know, everybody in the art department, set decoration and whatnot. They pull off some amazing stuff sometimes, you know, like I said, I get kind of busy running around driving, picking up stuff for sets and then bringing them. And then I'll come there and they'll have like, oh, that was the last piece that we needed for this set. Here's the rest of it. And, you know, I was gone for maybe a few hours only and it's all good and ready to go, ready to shoot.
Wow.
And, yeah.
Did you have to pick up the cadaver that was sitting in front of your desk?
No, that was one for someone else. I think. But I definitely had to take care of it for the long
time. Oh, how did you take care of it?
Well, I mean, you know, you got to make sure that no one messes around with it or anything like that. You know, we had to.
I imagine make you, sure like, was with a toothbrush, like, scrubbing the cadaver every day to make sure it's ready for camera.
We're not that dirty on Teen Wolf, so.
You guys didn't have to prep it for camera, put on makeup on the cadaver, whatnot?
Makeup did. Yeah. I definitely helped makeup.
The dusting, did you have a duster? The dusting of the cadaver, yeah. The daily dusting.
Dust the cadaver.
If you could be any of the characters on Teen Wolf and kind of like switch, you know, jobs with them, which one of the characters would you want to be?
Let's see. I guess it's kind of cool being a werewolf, right? You do whatever you want and,
you're strong.
Not get hurt ever. Well, kind of get hurt, but you're okay
afterward.
But
you can heal right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which wolf would you want to be? I mean,
see,
Scott's kind of the star of the show.
Yeah, Scott's the star of the show.
Do you want all those lines to memorize?
You don't get the... Well, are we switching actors or are we switching characters, though? I don't know. Styles has got it kind of okay, right, though? Because he doesn't
have to
deal with
any of
that.
Yeah, you kind of look like Styles, actually.
Oh, thank you.
Like the whole sweater and the hair.
I would have dressed nicer.
Very Styles reminiscent. What are the hours like working on set?
They get pretty wild. Definitely towards the end of the season is when it kind of – there's a lot of long hours, a lot of people staying awake for a long time. I think we shot long into the night, some nights definitely towards the end.
Mm-hmm. And so, what's like one of your best memories on set of Teen Wolf?
I can't tell you yet. We're only in the season, episode two.
Maybe you could tell us what it's dealing with, their character.
It's definitely in one of the last episodes. There was a really, really awesome set that was very, let's say it was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put that in quotes.
Okay. little hint for you guys at home. Figure out what that means.
Yeah, they'll watch it in 10 weeks and go, oh, that's what that guy man. Okay.
So did something happen on the set that was funny, or you just really liked that
it
set?
It was the reveal of having it seeing it in its completion, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's actually a set that we modify. It's the same location and it changes into this other thing because, you know, there's a lot of hallucinations and dreams and whatnot this season, so to see it transform from one thing to another was, in a matter of hours also, was the most incredible thing. Yeah, so everyone Everyone in the back, everyone that works behind the scenes at Teen Wolf is pretty kick butt. So, yeah. Trying to be PG for everybody.
Oh, thank you. I'm sure our Teen Wolfies appreciate it. So, do you interact very much with, like, the cast? Because I know you're doing everything to prep the sets, but do you have to interact with them very much? Or could you tell us about, like, one of your run-ins with them or who it was?
I don't get to see them too often. Usually if you go to the set, you'll see them. They're all very nice people and stuff. But I'm not necessarily shy, but I know that everyone's pretty busy, so I try not to bother them too much. But I've interacted with Tyler Posey a few times. You know, he's a guy that comes in and makes sure, you know, or he comes by and says hi to everyone every once in a while and he's just a great guy. He comes on and he goes, hey, how you doing? Introduces himself to me the very first day. And, you know.
Aw, that's very nice.
I'm not saying we're bros or anything like that.
But they're totally BFFs. He's going to be replacing Styles soon.
We do. We have a dartboard in the art department that we use whenever there's a brief break. You know,
are there pictures on it? Are you throwing darts at pictures?
No, we don't have any pictures on it. No. If we do, they're definitely of... either me or Turner or other guy. We don't let anybody else want to feel like they're let down.
So, that's nice of you guys.
So, but, we had Coach come in and play darts with us for a little while one day there.
Oh, so. Ornie Adams.
Yeah.
Who plays the coach. He was probably a good teammate on the darts. So is there another project that you're working on currently that you'd want to talk about?
Not really at this point, no. I mean, we're getting ready back to film another season pretty soon here.
The Teen Wolf, renewed for season 4, so that's exciting. When are you guys going to start filming that?
I want to say within a month or so. Mm-hmm. Nothing's set in stone yet. We're very, very early prep for it.
That's good. So have you guys already
ideas
finished?
Ideas are formulating.
Have you guys finished filming the last episode of Teen Wolf?
Yes, we finished that a couple weeks ago, actually.
So are you still helping on the set, or are you done for now until you guys start up again? Are you on hiatus personally?
Well, because I work with Rusty, and Rusty has to prepare everything, you know, weeks in advance to get it ready. Yeah, I'm already in there with him.
Prepping
and getting stuff ready. You know, he's coming up with new concepts for what Jeff has leaked and told him, you know, what's coming next. And
wow.
You know, and Jeff is he doesn't tell everybody everything, which is perfectly fine, you know. But that what he does tell Rusty has a little more info, but I see the sparkle in his eye. And when Rusty has a sparkle in his eye, that is when, you know, cool stuff is coming.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here, and thanks for answering all of our questions. Let's go ahead and roll into some predictions.
Predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So it looked like next episode we're going to see Kira and have Scott over to her house for dinner, so I'm sort of excited to see what happens there, because I'm not sure what to expect of them and this new, you know, it's going to be Japanese folklore this season, the Kitsune. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if her father, Mr. Yugamura, has anything to do with it, or her family being in town. Maybe they were beaconed here into Beacon Hills for a reason, but it just seems like, you know, I'm suspecting all new faces this season.
There are quite a few new faces coming in, and Kira is definitely a huge, huge part of this season for sure. And I won't deny that she may have something to do with what's going to be going on.
I heard she has some sort of powers that's going to help them, you know, put the pieces together. So hopefully she'll be a resource for them instead of another antagonist, which they definitely don't need in Beacon Hills.
Yeah, they don't need anybody else going against them, do they?
No. I heard there's going to be a lot more samurai fights instead of wolf fights.
Well, from the preview, yeah, you can see that a little bit of that is happening for sure.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to do very much research for that as well?
Oh, yeah. A lot of... That was actually really fun research for that.
It just seems like, yeah, the research on the show must be amazing, because I love Jeff's facts when we, like, are constantly learning stuff on the show. Mm-hmm. And then just the visuals that they give us, they just match so well. It's just all so believable. It really comes together. And
well, good. That means we're doing our job right.
Yeah, you really are. And I heard that we're going to learn what caused Stalinsky's wife to die, and that it includes a psychological component that may be affecting Stiles as well. So I don't know if this is sort of some kind of psychological mental illness that maybe Stalinsky's wife died of that's influencing Stiles. I'm not sure, but and
that was from Jeff?
Yes.
From Jeff? Oh, okay.
It's from Jeff.
If he's letting that stuff go, then yeah. Yeah, he's right.
Well, I'm excited to find out what that is. I get little tidbits here and there of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And Jeff Davis, the creator of the show, will definitely be coming back on our show at this season. And I heard that next episode, 315, the scream is not what gives Lydia her powers. So we're going to find out what exactly gives the Banshee her powers next week. Jeff, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, no problem.
And sorry to the fan who called in, wasn't able to ask your question to Jeff.
Yeah, call back.
But why hopefully not? They can tweet you later. What's your Twitter that the fans can tweet at you?
Well, I'm not super active on it, but you can find me. It's Mr. Jeff, MISTA_JEFF.
Mr. Jeff.
Yeah, Mr. Jeff.
I like that. Mr. Jeff in the house.
Yeah. Made in college, of course. So,
yeah. And it's carrying over. Love that.
Carrying over.
All right, guys. You can find me at Cinematic Escape on Twitter, or you can Google or Bing my blog, Cinematic Escape, and check that out. And we will catch you guys next week. Of course, we'll have another special guest.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.